Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Dr. Suzanne Stock, board-certified specialist in orthodontics. Dr. Stock is pleased to provide braces and Invisalign for children, teens, and adults in Iowa City and across Southeast Iowa. More online at drssortho.com.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Later this hour, I'll talk with a hypnotist about how he uses hypnosis on stage and to help people modify their behavior. But first, when people from different generations get to know each other and spend time together, there can be a lot of benefits. In a few minutes, I'll talk with gerontologist Megan Gilligan about some of those benefits. But first, Carrie Grinberg recently graduated from Central College in Pella. She is spending her summer living at Fairhaven East, a senior living community in Pella, as part of a pilot program between Central College and the company that runs Fairhaven. And she is with me on the line. Hello, Carrie.
Hi, Charity. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you so much for being here today. And tell me how you got involved with this. When did you first hear about this program?
I first heard about this. It was actually in our campus mail. So it came through on an email, and I saw it pop up as an ad, and I thought immediately that it was something I had to look into and hopefully be a part of. And so here I am.
What appealed to you about it?
Well, it was an experience that I'd never heard of before. So I'd never seen an opportunity like this before. And being able to actually live in and be on campus all of the time was really unique to that. So that's why I was initially really excited about it.
Tell me what life is like for you at Fairhaven East. I mean, you live there, you get room and board there, but what's your day like?
One of the great parts about this program is that all of the meals are provided. Every morning I get to come down and have breakfast and coffee with the residents. And through those meals, I've gotten to know and meet and just talk to so many different people, and they have all these interesting stories. So that's how I start out my day. And then last week I was teaching exercise classes in the mornings. And then I'm actually gone for the majority of the day because I'm still taking a couple of classes and preparing to take the MCAT. So I'm getting ready to apply to medical school. So I'm gone most of the daytime hours. But then in the evenings is when I really have a lot of interactions with the residents here. It just kind of depends on the day, but on Monday nights, it's game night with a bunch of ladies that live in this building. And Tuesday nights, I play cards with a different group. And there's another lady who I've spent a lot of time puzzling with. So on this last Friday, we'd spent a couple hours working on this puzzle, and I was kind of getting tired, and she, right when I was about to call it quits, she goes, "Let's go get some popcorn." So we got popcorn and continued, and we worked until the puzzle was done. So every day is just a little bit different, but that's kind of what I love about it here. I get to meet so many different people and share with their many stories. So
tell me about the arrangement. I mean, what are your responsibilities in exchange for living there?
Yeah, so I get free room and board while I'm here. And in exchange for that, the majority of my responsibilities are just to interact with and have conversations with these residents, as well as I'm going to do two formal events. So this last month I did a sing-along. So I sang some old-fashioned tunes, and they sang along with me. And so that was a lot of fun. And my sister came up for that as well, so they got to meet some of my family, and they were really interested in everything where I've come from, and so that's part of it. And then this weekend, I'm doing another one of the formal events as part of the responsibility. So this weekend, we're going to make we're making homemade salsa with the garden tomatoes that they have here. So in exchange for living here and eating here for free, I'm just spending a lot of time with the residents and doing, helping them with whatever they need, and really just kind of interacting with them however I can.
When you applied to be part of this program, were there a lot of other applicants?
I know there were a few. I don't know exactly how many, but there were a few other applicants. So there was a kind of a process. We had to do an interview and come to the building and meet people here. And so through that interview process, that's how I ended up being here.
And what do you think made you the right person for this opportunity?
Well, I was just so excited about the opportunity to begin with. So I think that was part of it. But I've always grown up around the older generation. I've spent a lot of time with my grandparents, and I grew up in the church community. So I've had those consistent relationships with the older generation. So I think those experiences also helped make me excited for it. And I think that's what they were looking for, was someone who would be excited and eager to like value this unique experience. So,
what has surprised you about the people that you're living with?
What has surprised me? I guess when I came into it, I didn't really know what to expect at first. I didn't have I have different expectations, but probably my biggest surprise has been how unique and different each individual was. I don't know what I was thinking coming into it, but just meeting all of these people and hearing all of their different stories has really shown me how unique and different everyone can be, and what they really have to offer. And so that was the best surprise for me, too. So, yeah.
Were you nervous about this experience at all?
I was a little bit at first. I was mostly just excited to see how the summer would go, but I was a little nervous coming in to see how everyone would react to a student and a younger person living with them. But they all reacted so well. Everyone has been so inviting and really interested in me and my family and my background. So they were so welcoming that immediately I didn't have those nerves after being here. So
now you are at a big point of transition in your life, having just graduated from college. You're looking at going to medical school. And this is not really a long experience, but it sounds like it's been a pretty powerful one for you. How do you think this experience has changed you?
Oh, yeah. It definitely has been a powerful experience. It's only been about a month now. But just being able to, it's really just an opportunity to take time away and kind of slow down. So coming from the college environment where everything is so fast-paced, and your senior year, everyone's asking you where you're going and what you're doing next, and then coming here and just kind of slowing down and having time to listen to these people who have experienced everything that I'm just kind of now getting started with, and some of their stories are so amazing. Everything that they've gone through, they've shared with me all ups and downs and their successes and losses in life. And just being able to have that different kind of perspective coming from that college environment has slowed me down and kind of made me realize what is important and what I want to value going forward here in these in this new kind of stage for me. So where I'm kind of transitioning here. And so, yeah, just having that time to slow down and listen and engage with these people has been really powerful for me.
Has it changed your ideas of what you might want to do when you head off to medical school?
Yes, I think it definitely has. I was set on going into pediatrics before because I've worked quite a bit with little kids. And so now being here, I've realized how much I enjoy working with this older generation. And so I'm still applying for medical school, and I'm taking that MCAT here in the next couple of weeks. But I also just accepted a job for the next year or two to work at Johnston at another senior living complex, where I'll be the activities director or activities coordinator, and working with them and helping improve their lifestyle. So I think through this experience and in the next year, it's going to change the route that I end up going in medicine.
Making that move from being a person just living in this community, being a friend, interacting with people, to being somebody employed by the senior center, how do you think that's going to change how you interact with residents? Because we're talking about, you know, intergenerational relationships. And a lot of the people who work at senior centers or nursing homes are young people. But that's a different dynamic than just being a co-resident, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It will be a different experience for myself, but I'm kind of hoping that this job will allow me to take this experience that I've had and hopefully allow other people to have a similar kind of experience. So as a person working with the activities and lifestyles of this senior living complex, I'll be able to work as a part of a team to help kind of design ways that we can improve their lifestyle and allow these people to have a different sense of purpose while they're in their senior living stage of life. So hopefully I'll be able to implement allowing kids to come in and work with this older generation and have a similar kind of experience that I've had.
This is a pilot program, and mm-hmm. as you leave in a few weeks, are there changes that you would recommend? I mean, right now you're the only young person living there. Is there something that you'd like to see develop in the future? Maybe more of a community of young people and older people living together?
Yeah, it has been a great experience for me to be here. But I could see how bringing more people my age in and sharing in those interactions more and more would be even more impactful. So having this be a pilot summer it was a great idea, but I think from here there's only room to improve it and go and continue with that same idea.
What would you like your peers to know about the people that you're living with? What would you tell people who are like, I don't think I'd do that?
Yeah, well, I think that we just have this general perspective of and what we think of when we think of the older generation, but that is so far from true. They have so much life and so many stories and things to share that that can't be overlooked. I think it's really something we all need to value and engage in. And you're the only one, only you can benefit from it. So just taking time out of your day and going in and just spending time with these people and listening to their stories and having fun with them, puzzling with them or helping them with computers, whatever it takes to just be with them and interact with them is what I would definitely say to my peers.
Carrie, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Carrie Grinberg, she recently graduated from Central College in Pella, and she's spending her summer living at Fairhaven East, a senior living community in Pella. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. I was just talking with Carrie Grinberg, who just graduated from college, and she's spending her summer living in a senior living community. And now we're going to focus on generations spending time together. In our modern culture, we tend to be somewhat isolated. Young people spend time with young people. Older people spend time with older people. It's different than it used to be. And when we do get together, there seem to be a lot of benefits. With us to talk about that is Megan Gilligan. She's an assistant professor in the Department of Human Development and Family Studies and faculty associate of the Gerontology Program at Iowa State University. You're also welcome to join our conversation with your experiences and your thoughts about generations spending time together. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Megan, thank you so much for being here today.
Great. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, and, just talking to Carrie about the experience she's having this summer, it does make me think about how in our culture we do tend to be quite isolated generationally. And that's really different from the way things used to be. Can you give me kind of an idea of how much more isolated our generations have become?
I think that we tend to associate with folks who are similar to us, and sometimes that is age. So we might have these kind of age homogeneous groups, but the reality is that as individuals continue to live longer, we have many more generations alive at the same time, which is creating these really kind of wonderful opportunities for interaction that we just heard about. Also, especially in Iowa, as populations continue to age, in rural communities we see this, there are a lot of older adults and maybe less younger adults in those communities. And so the benefits, I think, of these intergenerational interactions can be really great right now.
Well, and let's talk about some of the benefits to younger people. I think that in a way we can intuit the entertainment, the enjoyment of having a younger person come in and bring some life and some energy into an environment where you're spending time with a lot of people who are in your same generation. But let's talk about some of the benefits that younger people get from spending time with older people. What do we see?
Well, I think it can be mutually beneficial, but for younger people, we see that there's a lot to be learned from older adults. So we see these intergenerational programming happening with college students, like we just heard about, but all the way down to young preschool-age children. And so we think about the things that older adults also have to offer, not just kind of take from younger generations. So their ability to share their life stories, their life experience. And we hear Carrie, the college student, just kind of talking about that maybe these older adults had gone through similar experiences that she had. So they could share, this was what it was like for me. With younger children, they often can, maybe it's really comfortable to read with an older adult. So a child who maybe is struggling with reading can get paired with an older adult. And that's a really nice opportunity to engage in those types of learning experiences. So I think it's important to remember the value of the skills that older adults can also bring to these opportunities and to these exchanges. And I think they're often really happy to do that. I'm thinking about an example I've seen of an intergenerational learning program where older adults in Chicago were paired with young high school students in Brazil. And over the internet, they would speak to each other. So even language skills, all of these different experiences, skills that they have, they can share these, and definitely younger generations can benefit from that.
The younger generations, we were talking about college students. You also bring up the idea of children. I mean, there was a time when it was completely normal to have maybe four generations of a family, if not living in the same home, living very close together and interacting on a regular basis. And when we think about culture today, I mean, especially small children, other than their grandparents, really don't see those older generations, do they?
No, so we might kind of think that we see this sometimes, that younger generations may develop stereotypes of older adults or kind of fear of older adults. Carrie mentions that we have these, the college student we just spoke to, these kind of negative perceptions sometimes. So that's definitely a benefit younger generations can have, as well as just exposure to older adults, kind of seeing that this is part of our community, seeing the value. So more positive attitudes towards aging, decreasing and negative stereotypes toward aging, and to understand that this is part of our lifespan, life course, and the value that we can see in aging.
Do you feel like this is something that could prevent perhaps ageism in the workplace, that kind of thing?
Mm-hmm. I definitely think it's a big step towards kind of breaking down misconceptions or attitudes that we have. One thing that is happening for the first time is we're seeing these increases in longevity, and we're kind of a little unsure, what does that mean? And we might think, well, that's a time when people are really experiencing these declines, failures in health, and cognition. It's kind of can be a scary time. Even if we think about it for ourselves, our own aging, we might be scared of those experiences. But these intergenerational interactions give us a time to see there's a lot of value in these long lives. And so I think this is a big step to kind of breaking down these age stereotypes.
Well, let's look at the other way. I mean, we've talked about just enjoyment for older generations interacting with younger people. But what are some of the other benefits that older people might get from spending time with either children or just people in their 20s or even 30s?
Mm-hmm. So there's been actual formal evaluations of these types of programs. So the pilot program you just mentioned, these programs have been scaled up and evaluated, and we can actually document changes in physical health. So in movement, mobility, activity, psychological well-being, depressive symptoms, ability to maintain cognition, and also the sense of loneliness. So this is something that we're thinking a lot about for older adults. And loneliness can have a lot of negative consequences, including increases in mortality. So decreasing loneliness is a big step to improving the lives of older adults. So we see these outcomes in terms of economic well-being, social well-being, as well as physical and psychological well-being in older adults from engaging in these types of programs.
Have there been studies that have looked at some of the, I guess, belief systems of older individuals? We talk a lot about how studies have shown us that the millennial generation is more tolerant than generations that have come before. Do you think that there's maybe an increase in tolerance and understanding and empathy that comes for older people in spending time with younger people?
Yeah, I think actually for both generations, for the younger and the older generations, when we don't interact with each other, we may assume more differences than there really are. And so the types of experiences that we're talking about today, and you can think about Carrie the college student having these conversations, often when we engage in these type of conversations, we realize, oh, we have more similarities than we realize. So rather than acting on assumptions or perceptions about what other generations are like, if we have the opportunity to kind of facilitate these interactions, I think most individuals realize that we really have a lot more in common than we would have otherwise realized. And definitely there's research to support that this kind of breaks down stereotypes on both population sides.
I am talking with Megan Gilligan. She's an assistant professor in the Department of Human Development and Family Studies at Iowa State University. We're talking about intergenerational relationships and the benefits that can come from those relationships. And you are welcome to join the conversation. Is this something that you've seen in your own life, whether you're in an older generation or a younger generation? Have you gotten a lot of benefits out of having some of these relationships? We'd love to hear your stories or your questions. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Megan, I want to talk about some of the forms that this kind of interaction can take. Like I said, you know, our culture has changed so that we do tend to be more isolated. So when you want to bring generations together, you have to create a space for that. And one of the ways that we've seen people doing that is with mixed age daycare centers. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so one of the things that we're seeing an increase of, and I've done some work with early childhood education students here at Iowa State to talk about this, which is interesting. So they're thinking about working with young children, and all of a sudden the conversation comes up, well, is there benefit to, instead of just focusing on one developmental period, maybe birth through third grade, what if we bring in older adults? So we are seeing a rise in some places where there's a residential facility for older adults actually housing child care centers within that facility. So really kind of intense interaction where the children are there all day. To sometimes maybe that's maybe too big or too ambitious to start with. So doing intentional programming where bringing younger children into the residential facility or bringing older adults into a child care center once a week for a few hours and doing activities that both groups can engage in.
What seems to work well? I mean, I can imagine it as a mother, I'm thinking, oh, you know, I think that the relationships that would arise out of more natural interactions would be more valuable if you can give people time to get to know each other and just enjoy being together. But we do, again, we have to kind of create this meeting place. So when you plan activities, are the relationships as valuable as they would be if people are just becoming friends?
Yeah, I think we have to be a little bit intentional, and we really have to think about both parties. So when I have these kind of conversations with individuals who are maybe interested in starting this type of programming, first the recognition that there are certain older adults and certain children who may be more interested in this.
Right.
And then figuring out kind of what your population itself is interested in. I'm thinking, you know, mutual beneficially relationships where the older adults, maybe I'm thinking about the college students, so maybe you have a group of older adults who are really interested in music and they can share that with younger children. And so having both groups have something that they're interested in and bring to the table, I think is going to make these programs more successful. So not something necessarily that someone is kind of forcing or saying you have to do this, but seeing what their natural interests are and kind of building it from what both groups are already wanting to participate in.
Well, and so often when we have programs where, you know, let's say a classroom of students visits a senior center maybe three times in the school year or four times in the school year, we don't see those kinds mm-hmm. of quality relationships developing over time because it's so brief. Mm-hmm. What seems to have the greatest impact? How do we develop those quality relationships and still, you know, make it fun and valuable for everyone?
Yeah, I think that's an important point. I mean, there is value in having kind of a one-time interaction, but there's definitely greater value and greater promise if we could build long-term relationships. And so we can share moments together. We can, so as a child is learning to read, the older adult can see that happening. And also realizing that it's not, I mean, there is value in bringing younger generations to engage with older adults for social activity, but also recognizing, well, older adults have something to bring to the table. And definitely research indicates that when older adults feel that there's a purpose, that they're able to reciprocate in relationships, that has really great psychological value to them. So the more that they can do that and see themselves long-term impact, that's going to produce greater benefits for them as well.
Let's talk about college students. You know, Carrie is the only college student at this facility. Have you seen programs where it is more scaled up, where there's a community of college students and a community of older people?
Mm-hmm. I've seen this program happen in different capacities. Actually, I did my graduate work at Purdue University and the Center on Aging Life course at the time. So this would have been about 10 years ago. Actually, I had three friends in grad school who actually lived in assisted living facilities. They had their own apartments and lived there for a full year. And so I hear when I was listening to Carrie talk about her experiences in a month, you definitely see a longer term relationship building where they're able to share. So one of my friends got engaged when she was living in the assisted living facility, and she was talking about how her friends wanted to know about her engagement. So you can share kind of those life moments together the more time that you spend. So I have seen residential facilities that house a college age or maybe a graduate student for up to a year.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And you've actually participated, or there's a class at Iowa State University where there's an intergenerational book club?
Yes. So I have participated in this, and Dr. Jennifer Margaret, who's the director of the gerontology program, has taught this course several times where a book will be chosen and older adults from the community as well as college students will both read, and then they meet. So this is a semester long course. They meet once a week to talk in groups about the book. And I actually think that's a really great example as well of bringing in a mutual activity. So where they're both reading the same book, but maybe they have different reactions, different experiences to bring. And so I've actually witnessed these conversations happening. Well, you know, from my perspective, I see this a little differently. So, you know, maybe everyone was going to read the book anyways, but what a great opportunity to get to talk about it together.
What kind of advice would you give to people? I can imagine that right now there are a number of older people listening who think, you know, I'd love to spend time with some college students, or I would love to have more children in my life. How can an older person seek out this kind of situation?
I think that there are so many opportunities to make this happen, and thinking about what's something that already maybe an older adult is involved with. So maybe it's through church, maybe it's through they volunteer with the public library, maybe they're already involved in an activity and they could think about incorporating this type of intergenerational component, or maybe they're living in a facility. Hey, could we incorporate this type of program? So I think we already have existing structures that it would be fairly adaptable to add in an intergenerational component.
And how about younger people or parents thinking, you know, I would love for my kids to interact with with more people from older generations. I mean, it's great to get to know the neighbors, but even our neighborhoods have become isolated generationally. So as a parent, how do you facilitate it?
Yeah, so I think it's having this kind of open mind and thinking outside the box a little bit. So again, maybe if your child is already at a childcare facility, having these conversations with the director, looking for models of these programs. So they're happening across the United States. Could we implement something like this at the childcare center or at my school? So again, I think it's not something that has to be completely new. It can happen within opportunities that we're already having.
Well, Megan, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Great, thank you.
Megan Gilligan is an assistant professor in the Department of Human Development and Family Studies. She's also a faculty associate of the Gerontology Program at Iowa State University. We've been talking about the benefits of intergenerational relationships. Coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to talk about hypnosis on stage. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.